Day. And I want to say that the recording is in progress, and I also want to say that if you're a mom this morning, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day is not mentioned in the Bible, but the Bible does give examples of some fantastic moms. Some fantastic moms, and I want you to be able to connect. I want all of us to be able to connect to one of these moms this morning that we have the opportunity to reference. The Bible teaches us in the Old Testament of this great king. His name was Solomon. And Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. And there were these two moms, right? These two women who had these babies. And one mother, she smothered her baby in the middle of the night. And she switched the baby with the other woman's baby. And in the morning, can you imagine the conflict and the confusion and the panic and the chaos? And they pulled each other's hair for a while until ultimately they come to the highest court in the land. It's King Solomon's court. Solomon says, look, I have no time for this nonsense. Bring in the executioner, cut the child in half, that is the living child, and give one half to this woman and one half to that woman. We're done here. And one of the women said, yes, yes, you go ahead and do that. And the other mom said, no, please don't. No, sir, no, don't do that. You know what? You won't have any more interference from me. I'll withdraw. You just give the woman to her, give the baby to her. I'm done here. Just give the child to her. Oh, King Solomon said, that's the mom. Friends, how did he know that? Because she would do anything for that child. Isn't that the heart of a good and godly mom today? She would do anything for that child. The Bible teaches us in the Old Testament of this great woman, this Gentile woman, right? She honors the things of God. She wants Elisha to stay at her house. She doesn't have a child. Elisha promises her this child. Well, as the child is out in the field with his dad harvesting, he dies from this heat stroke. And this woman says to the servant, listen, I want you to drive this cart as fast as you can go. I'm going to find the man of God. And so the barn door opens and off they go, right? And the husband is out in the field harvesting with the servants. And he cries out to her, hey, hey, dear, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to find the man of God. Well, why are you going to find the man of God? Is it neither the new moon nor the Sabbath? It's not Sunday. Where are you going? She doesn't say a word. She just goes to find the man of God. And she says to Elisha, I am not leaving you until you come with me. Now, I need to just interject here. It's not our day, dads. Your day is coming next month, right? But let me mention this to you. The dad's son is dead. He doesn't have a clue. Sir, I know the harvest is important and there's a window of opportunity. Your son is dead and you don't even know. And I stop and I think to myself of how many dads would say ultimately, I can provide for my kids financially, but spiritually, my son is dead or he's dying on the vine right in front of my eyes. This mom is different. And she goes to find the man of God and she doesn't leave until ultimately she finds him. And if you know the account, Elisha comes in, he prays, that child opens his eyes. She takes the child, she worships. Or you know what, maybe you're a mom this morning who's in a difficult place. I'm between, you know, a rock and a hard place. I don't understand. There's confusion in my life. I'm sort of like this woman, Naomi, you know. Naomi buries two of her children, and then she comes back into the land. And when people say, oh, is this Naomi, which means beautiful. No. You know what? Don't call me beautiful. My name is Mara, which means bitter. That's what I want to be known as. The Naomi you knew, she died, all right? She's gone. How come? She says, because the Lord has done harshly on me. The Lord has been hard on me. Now, she acknowledges the Lord in that sentence. She does. She doesn't understand it. She doesn't get it, Lord. How come? Look, I did play by the rules, right? I do respect, I do honor, I do this. This wasn't supposed to happen like this. And so she says, don't call me Naomi. You know what I want you to call me, Mara? I want you to call me Mara. So this morning, what I'd like you to do, I'd invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel. We're going to take a look in chapter 15, but the first, it's on page, I think it's 848 of your chapel Bible. And we want to take a look at a real mom, a real hero of a mom. And I want all of us to learn from this mom. In Matthew chapter 15, the Lord Jesus has this encounter with this mom. You know, the Lord Jesus met all kinds of people, didn't he? He met rich people. He met beggars. He met religious people. He met politicians. He met sick people. But in his 3 years of public ministry, he only says two times, "Great is your faith." Can I say it again? He only says two times, "Great is your faith." Do you know what's really important to the Lord? That your faith grows. Can I tell you this? There's not a verse in the Bible that says, "I want you to add to your righteousness." There's not a verse in the Bible that says that. But there are verses in the Bible that God says, "I want you to add to your faith. For other foundation can no one lay which is laid, which is Christ." Now, how are you going to build on it? In Peter, the Bible tells us that we are to add. God says, "I want you to add to your faith." And Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes back to this earth, will he find faith? Will he find faith in my heart? Will he find faith in your heart? Is your faith growing? Friends, he doesn't say in this passage, will your attendance grow? He doesn't say, will your tithing grow? He doesn't say, will your fellowship grow? Will your outreach grow? These things are all important. Don't get me wrong. But he says, will I find faith? Is your faith growing? There's only two times that he has said, great is your faith. One time to a centurion, right, a dude who wasn't even Jewish, whose servant was sick. And the Lord Jesus says to him, I'll come to your house. No, yeah, thank you, sir, but you don't have to come to my house. I don't even need to stop you, right? I don't know. You just say the word, right? I understand authority. I have people under me. Just say the word. Really? That's pretty good faith. And one time he says it to this woman, this Gentile woman. This Gentile woman who knows nothing about like the priesthood of Melchizedek. I don't even know how to spell Melchizedek, you know. Right? He only says it two times. And he says it to this mom. So happy Mother's Day. We can learn from this mom. And we want to be able to answer this objective question. Why does he say to her, great is your faith? Why does he say that? She's a Gentile woman. And we'll get to the passage in a moment. She's a Gentile woman. So are we. She has a pretty big problem. Yep. And I'd say, honestly, so do we. Right? We do. Maybe those problems are public problems, or maybe those problems are private problems. The longer I live, the older I get, I think it's fair to say that life is harder to live. She has a pretty big problem. So do we. She has a lot of barriers to overcome. And that's true of moms today, you know. There's lots of hard things that moms have to deal with. It's exhausting to be the mom. It's physically exhausting. It's emotionally exhausting. It's an endless job. Honestly, if I'm honest with myself, I think the very hardest job in our country is a single mom. I just do. It's such a hard thing. It's a lonely thing. It's a thankless thing. As a little boy, I remember when dad came home, pretty much his day was over when he came home. But my mom's day wasn't over until like I was in bed, right? Mom worked so hard. She gave so much. Moms give so much. So today, if you're a mom, I want you to think about I want you to think about something in your child's life that you can't change, because you would if you could. Something that you couldn't just write a check to make this go away. You need to just drive and contact somebody or email somebody and make whatever it is change. Something that you can't change. Something that's, it's too heavy. Something that you need to bring to the Lord Jesus. This mom, we're going to learn from her. Moms run really deep. They really, really do. They go into the deep water for their families. They go into the deep water for their kids. You know, I'm a fifth grade teacher, and I meet with moms and dads at the parent-teacher conferences. I want you to know that when I meet with the moms and the dads, the moms bring, you know, notes. I want to know, where is my child's reading level? I want to know how to get my child into the in gifted program. I want to know the trajectory of where, what am I doing next year to make this happen? The dad is just sitting there, you know? I say to the dad, you have any? No, nothing here, no. And every now and again, you get just the dad comes in. And I'm thinking, oh man, this poor guy, you know? He's got 20 minutes. He doesn't know what to ask. He's just going to sit here. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Rangers? You know, what do you want to know? You ask me. And then I'll just offer things to him, right? It's just a different perspective. It's the mom who's going to navigate through all the doctor's appointments. It's the mom who's going to deal with the play dates. It's the mom who's going to reach out and do all of the emailing. Sometimes as the teacher, you get too many emails from the mom. I get it. I totally get it. The mom in this account is a sick daughter. Could you just, before we read the passage, could you just look at Matthew 14, just the page earlier, and verse 35 and 36. Matthew 14, 35 and 36, it says, "And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding regions and brought to him all who were sick." Do you notice that? All who were sick, "and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well." Wherever the Lord Jesus went, whether into cities or villages or towns, they laid sick people in the street. They besought him that they might, as it were, touch the hem of his skirt, and as many as touched were made whole. Wow, you know, how powerful is that? But in this situation, it seems to be so much harder than that. Why can't it be just as easy as that? Okay, so I have this problem, and we went out and we had this. Let's take a look at this account. Because you think about moms and dads who brought their children to Jesus. But in this case, this girl is in such a bad situation, in such a bad condition, she can't get to the Lord Jesus. So what does the mom do? Well, the mom in the account is going to go alone. That's what she's going to do. You know, and maybe today, some parents are dealing with that they say, my son or my daughter is so far from the Lord Jesus. And will you come? Would you, you know, I prayed for you. I'm praying for you. My heart breaks for you. But they won't come. Why won't you come? Why not? They won't come. And so what am I supposed to do? Well, this mom gives us an example. This mom goes alone. She's going to go alone to the Lord Jesus. She's going to go alone to the Lord Jesus. This mom is fighting against something that she doesn't understand. She doesn't have the right ammunition to fight this battle. She's out of options. She's at the end. It seems really hard, you know? The woman of Nain, they're going to the cemetery. She's a Gentile. Jesus is coming in the other direction. He's going to heal this woman's child. He heals all these other people that they lay the sick in the street. Why is this one so much harder? You're going to go back to the objective. He's not going to say to any of them, "Great is your faith." He is going to say it to her. He's going to say it to her. Let's take a look at the account. Matthew Matthew chapter 15, please, in verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "True, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So the Bible teaches us about this Gentile woman. The Lord Jesus Christ had left the land of Israel, and he departed the region. And here's this Canaanite woman. This woman who's got this big problem. And for whatever reason, this woman is going to use a powerful, powerful title for the Lord Jesus. She comes after him and she says in verse 22, "Son of David." Now that's really an important thing. All right, that's what she calls him. And the reason that this is so important is because nobody has said this so far. I mean, I'm in Matthew chapter 15. Nobody has said this. The apostles haven't used this title. The crowds haven't used this title. Certainly the Pharisees haven't used this title. Nobody has said this. What is this title? Son of David. Well, it's a Jewish title about a promised Jewish king. The very first introduction of the Lord Jesus is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Well, who is he? He is the son of Abraham. He is the son of David. Just for clarification purposes. Abraham had many sons. No, this child is the son of Abraham. David had many sons. This child is the son of David. Oh, there's a big, big difference. This is the promised one. This is going to be the Christ, the anointed of God. This is the one that all the prophets have spoken about. This is the son of David. She calls him that. You know, ironically, Bartimaeus is going to call him that too. Blind Bartimaeus. Son of David, he cries out. And the Pharisees, you know, just shut him down. Son of David, he calls the Lord Jesus. It's really not until the next chapter when Simon Peter is going to have this breakthrough moment. And Simon Peter is going to be on the greatest spiritual retreat that there ever was in Caesarea Philippi, way in the north. And Jesus asks the question, "Who is it that people say that I am anyway?" And, some say that you're Elijah, and some say that you're John the Baptist, and some say that you're Moses. Okay. And gentlemen, you've been with me for 3 years now. Tell me, who do you say that I am? That could be a little scary, you know? Sitting around, there's peer pressure, and Peter steps forward. Oh, thank goodness, Peter, yes, go for it. "You are the Christ," he says. "You're the son of the living God. You are the son of David. You're the Christ, the anointed one, the promised one. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona," right? "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, Simon Barjona. You didn't read about this in the New York Times, Peter. My Father in heaven has revealed it to you. If you know the Lord Jesus this morning, it's because the Spirit of God has moved in your hearts. God has chosen you. Isn't that just an incredible thing? You're chosen in Christ. You've responded to the call. Peter talks about that in his epistle, that you're a chosen people. Friends, at recess growing up, we lined up for kickball and the teams were made. I wasn't even chosen. You know, you just take him, you know. He'll play with you. God has chosen you. If you know and love the Savior, I mean, there's no better place to be. She calls him the Son of David. And not only that, she says, Son of David. She says, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. You know? Friends, you talk about heartache. You know, you talk about heartache. You talk about heartache. About heartache. And, you know, I don't know. In the dad's perspective, oh, I had a lousy day. Okay, great. You know, let's move on. But for whatever reason, mom is different, you know. Mom sort of carries that. What happened? Let's think this through. Let's live vicariously through my kids, through the difficult times, through the wonderful times. Mom is right there. You know, the best day of my mother's life was the day I got married. You know, right? Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. She's asking. She's asking. Moms get it. You know, moms understand it. Now, here's the hard part. He answers her not a word. Right? That's strange, isn't it? I mean, why not? You healed all those people on the street, right? You're going to heal Bartimaeus. You're going to heal the Canaanite woman whose son died. You do that. Why are you not speaking? He answers her not a word. She's asked him something. She's addressed him correctly. She has. He's silent. This is hard, but it's heavy, so I have to ask the question. Has that ever happened to you? Lord, I've addressed you correctly, and I'm humbled. I really genuinely am, and I'm emptied, and I'm broken, and I do. I'm bowing before you. Lord, will you respond to me? Will you respond to me, Lord? He's silent. I live in a world today that wants instant response. Instant world, you know? We are just not a patient society. Silence, it bothers me. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know where your position is. I want to know what it is. Do you know how fast communication travels? It's brutal. You know, when I started teaching, it was telephone calls. Oh, there was a message for you. Great, you know. I'll get back to you like a week from Tuesday. You know, now, once people get your email, boom. You know, I want to know right now. I'm considering this mom, and my heart feels for the mom. It really does. I don't understand it. Have mercy, she says. My daughter is demon-possessed severely. He answers her not a word. Follow with me now. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. She cries out after us? I mean, actually, she's not crying after you, gentlemen. She's crying after him. Christian people think, you know, people come to this church for the answers, you know? I'm sorry if the church disappoints you with the answers. I'm sorry if the music doesn't answer your questions, or the fellowship doesn't answer your questions, or the speaker doesn't answer your questions. Friends, it's the Lord Jesus who's going to fill you. It's the Lord Jesus who's going to fill you. And if he doesn't fill you, forget it. There's not a church in the United States that's going to do it. It's him. It's not going to cry out after you. It's not I'm going to cry out after you. It's him. It's him. They see it as a burden to them. Oh, you know, just push this problem away. It's just too hard. And the silence, the disappointment and silence. It's a tough thing for this mom. And the hard part about it is that moms and dads, people lose heart. Lord, this isn't what I wanted. And I have asked respectfully in prayer. But Lord, I don't know where this abundant life is that you speak of. And you talk about this comforter who has come, and I don't really feel the comfort right now. And I'm losing faith, and the disappointment has moved me away. Friends, there are scores of people that have left the church of the Lord Jesus. I'm just going to go out and do my own thing. I don't know. Disappointment. But disappointment can also move you closer to the Lord Jesus. It can move you closer to the Lord Jesus. Yes, this is a broken world and a broken place. Disappointment can lead you to great confusion, but disappointment can also move you to a heart of worship. She worships. Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answers her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Verse 24, but he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, this is an important piece. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. She needs help. What does this mean? I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This passage is in Matthew's gospel. The Lord Jesus is presenting himself as a Jewish king, the shepherd king of Israel. She's a Gentile. She doesn't have any claims of these promises. It's true. She doesn't have any claims to these promises. He says, I was sent as a Jewish king. You're a Gentile woman. It's true. But as I look at that, is that harsh? He says, I've come to feed the Jewish children. I've come to feed the Jewish children. I've come to present myself as the shepherd king of Israel. Verse 25, then she came and worshiped. Now that is powerful, right? She comes and worships. Friends, a heart that worships the Lord is never going to be turned away. Never going to be turned away. She worships him saying, Lord, help me. Friends, this is a lot lower than Son of David. This is a lot lower than the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one. Lord, help me. I've got nowhere else to turn. And if you're honest with yourself, there's passages which you can find where Simon Peter would say, Lord, to whom else should we go? You have the words of everlasting life. Right? Jesus said, when the crowds departed because of the message that he brought, he turned to his friends. He said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter says, Lord, where would we go? Who am I going to go? What is it going to be? Golf? Is that what it's going to be? Yoga? I mean, what am I going to do? Go back to school? Get another degree? Where am I supposed to go? It's you who have the words of everlasting life, Lord. Where am I going to go? I've come to feed the children. So he says to her, it's not good, verse 26, to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs, the Gentile dogs. It's not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs, to the Gentile dogs. Friends, she doesn't come to the Lord Jesus and claim to be good. She doesn't come to the Lord Jesus and claim that she's got it all figured out. She says this, though, verse 27, that's true, Lord, yet. Friends, that's one of the big takeaways of this sermon. It's true, Lord, yet. I agree with you, Lord, yet. You know, God says of you and I, there are none righteous. I mean, just for the record, there's no one righteous. There's not one person righteous. Now, what's my response to that? That's true, Lord. That's true, Lord. Yet, Lord, you said, he that cometh unto you, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says you are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, right? Yes, Lord, that's true, Lord. But Lord, you became sin that I might be found the righteousness of God in you. Lord, I agree with you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The Bible says that in this world there's going to be trouble and grief and sorrow. That's true, Lord. Yes. Yet, Lord, it says that you've overcome the world. And I believe you. Friend, she agrees with the Lord. That's so powerful. She worships and she agrees with the word of God. Today I live in a world where people are concerned with truth. It's not truth. You know what? It's kind of shifted. Or maybe it's my perspective. People maybe aren't so concerned, is it true or not? They want to know, does this work? Does this work? She says, yes, Lord, it's true. I agree, Lord. I am a Gentile dog. You're right. But, Lord, even the crumbs, the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Wow. It was just an honest, beautiful response. It wasn't some classy line or some quick thinking thought. She just agrees with him. And he says to her, daughter, woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. Friends, this morning, there's a lot of challenges in all of our lives. There's a lot of challenges for moms. There's a lot of heaviness in the lives of moms, especially in a world today that is spiraling out of control. How beautiful it is just to bow before the Lord. And just to give him our heart's concerns and to agree with the Lord and to acknowledge that he's sovereign. And Lord, you can change this if you will. And if you don't change it, Lord, then I pray that you would help me to resolve and to grow and to serve in spite of this. Because I know, Lord Jesus, that you've created me, not that you might mock me, but that you might elevate me in spite of my circumstances. Mother's Day is such a wonderful day. But can I tell you this? It can also be such a hard day. It's such a hard day. Now, there are more cards sold, except for Christmas Day, on Mother's Day than any other day by far. I mean, by far more than Father's Day. By far. So I want us, all of our hearts, to be encouraged. And I want you to examine your own heart and ask the question, would he say my faith is growing? Not my attendance, not my tithing, not my works. Is my faith growing? Do I agree with him in spite of the things that are going on? Do I agree with him? Is my heart in a position of worship regardless of what my day might look like? Praise the Lord for this example that he gives to us. Praise the Lord for good and godly moms who walk into the deep water for their families. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for moms. I think about how hard they work. I think about how their desire is for their families. I just pray, Lord, that every mom or every woman who who is like a mom here today could be honored by you. Lord, you love moms. You created the whole institution of moms and dads. This institution that is under such attack today. I just pray that you would allow these moms today to have a special blessing from yourself, to be encouraged, and that, Lord, our faith could grow and that our hearts could come before you open and honest, hearts of worship and acknowledging that you truly are the Son of David and that you did come on such a rescue mission so that Gentile dogs could be included in the great, great plan of your salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name.